is global spokesperson for UNICEF. That's the United Nations Children's Fund. And he joins us on the line. We've just been listening there to the sort of views being expressed in Israel today when it comes to UNRWA. How would you respond?
Oh, I'd rather not respond directly to someone I don't know. So that person was, I'm so sorry. But just with simple facts, it's what we should have been looking at for the last 12 months, what so much of this debate has been short of, facts and compassion for children on the ground. For example, I mean, I heard education mentioned there. 3,000 health workers on the ground are supported by UNRWA. The idea that at any point a health system could continue, much less now having been utterly devastated and the criticality ever so more because this is a war zone, because we have tens of thousands of children being killed. We have polio for the first time in 25 years. WHO, the World Health Organization, has made it eminently clear from their highest levels the absolute criticality of UNRWA. So has UNICEF from my executive director, and that comes to all the things that we do around nutrition, around water, around sanitation. They are quite simply the backbone. So they're the backbone in terms of all projects, not just education. And yes, indeed, there has been no education for a year, and that probably shouldn't be overlooked in such a simple way. That's because shelters have been schools have been used as shelters, and that's would lead me to talk also of 30 plus shelters have been bombed this month alone. So yes, children aren't in school, so that needs to go back. So we'll need UNRWA for that. Obviously, the psychological support of an entire child population. I don't think we've ever said that before, but there's no doubt. There's nothing embellishing it to say that every single child in Gaza needs psychological support. So yeah, health, nutrition, maternal health, delivery of supplies. It's what UNRWA does. We're in the most devastated system. As UNICEF says, we look at the collapse of the humanitarian system in Gaza if this goes through, at a time when people have never been in greater need, never been more on their knees.
The ban isn't due to come into effect immediately. What can be done, if anything, to try and stave off its implementation?
It's a great question. I'm sorry. It's got a political point to it. I just don't know. I know the humanitarian damage, and I'm sure, perhaps as you did hear, that there are levels of leadership in countries who can sway this decision. It's certainly unprecedented for a member state to make a decision such as this. We, of course, live in unprecedented times. It's also unprecedented to now have seen 14,000 girls and boys killed in the last year. It's unprecedented to have seen an entire population forced to flee. Certainly, it's unprecedented to see most of those people being pushed into a block of land that's 10%. So many things need to have occurred where leadership needs to have, stopped this onslaught on civilians. Unfortunately, as you and I still talk, and as we see, the essential blockade in northern Gaza of families unable to leave, bombed when they stay. Office for High Commission of Human Rights has said shot when they flee. So, yeah, if there are those international actors with leverage, it is well overdue.
The situation in northern Gaza, which you mentioned there, I mean, it seems to have worsened this morning with this Israeli airstrike, killing scores of people from what we're hearing this lunchtime. What are you hearing about the scale of the destruction there?
No, exactly that. I mean, numerically, what to say? I mean, we are now at around an average of 35 girls and boys killed every day for a year, not for a week, which in imagine 35 children killed in Ireland or America or where I'm from, Australia, in a day for a week. I mean, the outrage, it would come to a stop. It's been 35 girls or boys, 6-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 1-month-olds, 17-year-olds killed every single day for a year. So it's more of that. Unfortunately, it's absolutely more of that. Things are as bad as they've ever been. And that's a very high bar of horror to pass. And we are at absolute rock bottom. Of course, every time I've gone back to Gaza, you get asked, rightly so, how are things? Every time they are, of course, worse because the bombardments continue, but people's coping capacity physically, but also psychologically, is just absolutely shattered. So, of course, it just makes sense that it continues to get worse. But yes, October has, my understanding, been the most violent month in terms of attacks on civilians. It's also something I spoke about in the last week during press conferences. It's also been in the last 6 months the lowest number of children we've been able to medically evacuate. We've had a 90% reduction in children being able to be medically evacuated with absolutely horrendous wounds. You know, children with all the wounds you see, with the burns, with the shrapnel, and they have been blocked. A 90% reduction, less than a child a day for the last 6 months. So if you can imagine that insanity, that despite the bombs, the bullets and the shells, when a miracle happens, if you will, when a bomb goes off and a home collapses or there's an inferno, but a child survives, they're then prevented from leaving. They're blocked in a place where there is not the burn cream or the antiseptics or the painkillers they need because that aid has been delayed or denied. And then they're not allowed to leave. They're restricted from leaving. So, yeah, for me, I mean, I feel like UNICEF has spent a year trying to shed light on the atrocities being committed against children in Gaza. But that feels to me like one of the clearest and most damning realities, deeply unwell children, whether it's burns or broken limbs or, you know, head wounds or cancer, are being denied the medical care that would save them in Gaza and then prevented to leaving to places where help awaits.
James Elder, Global Spokesperson for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon.